When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Today's show is brought to you by Fandor. Sign up online or in the app for a free one-week trial. Just $4.99 a month for your all-access pass. Playing now on Fandor is How to Start a Small Business. In this film, Skylar Ward, a small-time promoter, is searching for the next big thing. We end up following Skylar and his team of Little People wrestlers as they attempt to take their act from the bars of Texas and fairgrounds of Oklahoma to the big time.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Fandor Video Podcast. Here's my dear co-host, Chris Kelly.
Thanks so much for having me, as always.
And the best producer west of the Mississippi, Bryn.
Thanks. Woo-hoo. Good to be here, guys.
All right.
Well, we have a very special interview today. The Mill Valley Film Festival is right around the corner, and one of the movies that's highly featured is called Like a Rolling Stone, The Life and Times of Ben Fong Torres. And with us today is Ben and Suzanne. Suzanne Joe Kai is the director. So thank you guys for being here.
Hey, pleasure.
Thank you.
I guess the most obvious question is, Ben, Suzanne, how did this come about? How did you guys meet? And how did this actually come to fruition?
This has to be a Suzanne Joe Kai kind of a question.
Well, I was thinking, like, actually how we met. I think I was in the newsroom, I'm like 22 or something like that, at the NBC station in San Francisco, KRON. Mm-hmm. And I just discovered this person named Ben Fong Torres. So being the intrepid reporter that I was, the journalist, I actually reached out to him. And I still today even have that little piece of paper, the paper telephone message that Ben actually called me back.
Nice.
Because there were so few Asian Americans, period, anywhere in the country, you could probably count us on one hand. So I think that's how we met. I probably reached out to him from my newsroom and then he called me back. Then how did this film come about? Oh my goodness. Years later, Ben calls me, says, he's in San Francisco, says, I'm coming down to Los Angeles. I'm going to meet with Q. Do you want to have dinner? And I said, yes. So I have dinner. I actually happened to be doing a shoot. I brought my production assistant with me. So the two of us are sitting there having a fantastic dinner. And it just kind of came up. And I said, hey, Ben, you're in everybody else's documentary, rock and roll documentary. And I just was curious, why isn't there one about you? And he said, I don't know. And I had just done a, for fun, a documentary on the inner world of Star Wars fans that actually ended up in London and other places. And I was really kind of emboldened. And he said, well, then why didn't you do it? And I said, okay. And that was it. That's how it all started.
Oh, that's great.
I know Suzanne doesn't like to drop names or even initials, but Q would be Quincy Jones.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, when she said Q,
Not QAnon.
I know, I was thinking, are these guys QAnon people? Like, what is she talking about? And then I also thought Quiznos, were they Quiznos?
This
like,
could be a new career for Quincy Jones. Yeah. as Q.
All right, well now everyone we know Q is Quincy Jones when they use it again later in this interview. Hey, Ben, I'm going to go out of order of the questions. I'm going to ask the question, when you look at this film, Ben, what goes through your mind as you relive so much of your life?
First, I would say gratitude to Suzanne for thinking in her demented way that this life here was worth documenting Secondly, I would say amazement at the people, from fellow former Rolling Stone staff members to big time musical names like Q and EJ and CS. Yeah. I think you guessed EJ already, who thought my work was worthwhile over the years. And third, a renewed love of family, of parents and siblings that I've lost, and of who Diane and I still have, from Diane's sisters to my nieces and nephew and their kids. And for the youngest ones, this film will tell them some of what came before in this life of mine. And I find that incredibly valuable, and I'm very grateful.
I'd like to throw it to Bryn for a second. Bryn is our producer. Mm-hmm. He's Vietnamese.
Oh, yeah.
And as we were like getting ready for this interview, he said something really, really touching about this movie. Tell him what you said.
It resonates with me, and you talking about documenting your life a while ago. You know, I've known Ben Fong-Torres forever in my youth. I didn't know the rock star version of Ben Fong-Torres, and, you know, way back when. Seeing this footage was really amazing, especially for an Asian American in media. I thought that was just super eye-opening and really amazing to see. And so thank you for representing us properly and showing us how to do it, you know?
Well, I'm not sure about representing you properly.
Oh, my God. Way, way better than any of us could do it.
I'm glad that it has turned out to be the case that I have been some kind of a role model. Because back in the 50s and 60s, when I was beginning to have these dreams about media and radio and the newspapers I was reading and the humor books I was reading at the restaurant our family operated, there were no role models. My models were Steve Allen on the late night show and the variety show, and Gary Owens, then a local morning DJ here in Oakland at KEWB, and one or two others. But they were just sort of models for fun, professional guys who are in a wonderful business that I thought I could never possibly crack. And so those were my models. And now I see that between Suzanne and me and maybe 20 other pioneers, so-called, of Asian American journalism and media, that a whole new generation, several by now, have emerged and are carrying the torch.
Ben, when you think back to all the interviews you've done, which one do you want back? The one you didn't quite nail? The one you would have done differently?
Probably the earliest ones, Huban. I think back then we're talking about 1969, essentially, and I was trying too hard to be Rolling Stone, whatever that was, so early in the magazine's history. The idea was to be professional. That was Jan Wenner's thing, but with an edge and an attitude. So the articles I'm thinking about, my first feature was Dino Valente, composer of Get Together, which became the hippie anthem. And then Joni Mitchell became my first cover story. And they were okay. I had good training at San Francisco State's daily newspaper, but as with all of my articles, they could have been better. But I think especially those two. And Joni was my first cover story, but they left out the byline, which I'm actually, in retrospect, glad about.
Great. All right. So tell us the story. My favorite moment in the movie is when you start talking about your family. And I'd love for you to tell us the story of your father, his story, and how you got your name.
Well, my father was born in a tiny village in southeast China, Guangdong, and he was raised in poverty. He was one of, like me, he was one of five children, and he ultimately, after doing chores his entire young life as a teenager, maybe 17 or 18, he went to Manila. He had learned that people went from China to Manila in the Philippines to earn money for their families, and so that's what he did. He delivered bread by horse wagon. He began to learn how to cook, and he was told that the Filipinos could enter America while Chinese were excluded. So he got help obtaining a birth certificate for a Ricardo Torres. It worked, and he landed in the Bay Area in 1927 at age 24. And he found work at various restaurants in Oakland's Chinatown. And within a few years, he was a partner in a small cafe, and he was on his way.
Mm-hmm. So did your dad change his name to Ricardo?
He came to America with the legal name carrying, Ricardo Torres. And when he met my mom, kind of a mail order thing, years later, in the late 30s and early 40s, and they had their first child, Sarah, a family friend dropped by and said, and he knew a thing or two. And he said, "So, dude, what are you going to be calling yourselves? You know, because you're Fong from China, Fong Goxiang, and yet you're Torres legally in America. So you are screwed." And my father said, "Really? I didn't know you could say screwed in Chinese. What shall I do?" And this wise guy says, "Well, I think you should put the two together and you're covered." And who knows who chose to use Fong first, then Torres. But whatever it was, us kids came along, learned some grammar, and hyphenated the name. And we were on our way.
Okay, so Suzanne, when... You know, I know this is your baby. I know how filmmaking is. I know how much you pour into it. But what's your hope for what you hope people are going to walk away with after watching this movie?
That is a really good question. When I started this 12 years ago, I mean, I thought it was going to be a 2-year project. And then I started to get deeper and deeper into the source research. And then I would learn more and more and more and more. And it was like started to get like amazing information that is nowhere. It's just not in any book, not in any film, anywhere. These are all from the insiders in Rolling Stone, insiders in the rock stars, insiders in the community. So pulling that all together, the takeaway, it's really, the timing is like almost like it just was meant to be to release this year. We almost released 2 years ago, but I've held it back, actually. But 2 years ago, there was no Black Lives Matter. There was no all this crisis going on. There was no pandemic. There's none of that. There's no marches in the streets. And then all of a sudden, this year, there's all of that, right? So our film actually is very, very current. So my takeaway is I want everyone to see the film, including the ones who are, you know, trying to, whatever you want to call it, you know, they're just in conflict with us. And I want this film to entertain audiences. And through entertaining, I think we'll introduce a real human being who has inspired his own peers for decades, and hopefully will inspire audiences. So that's my takeaway.
Who did you guys want for the film that you didn't get? Who's still living?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Come on.
A Ben. Oh, for me.
Either one of you. Like, who did you want? Who did you really want that you didn't get? Because you guys have it's a star-studded film.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we pretty much got everyone we had hoped for.
Did you want to get Mick Jagger? What about Mick Jagger? Come on.
He actually, believe it or not, Ben has all these incredible, extraordinarily rare, mostly never been heard before by the world, archives, right? And we have Mick Jagger and all of that, but we had to sort through to see which ones would match and mesh with his his life. But if we are ever asked to do a multi-part series, we can add Mick in there.
Okay. All right. Hey, anyone who's watching this with some influence, that was the seed. We just planted it. A multi-part series.
It's a wonderful start in many different ways.
Chris has a job offer for you, Ben. Go ahead, Chris. Tell him. So, this is off the list of questions we sent you, Ben. Another one off the list.
So, a couple of years ago, my friend Jay Penske bought Rolling Stone magazine, and he's installing right now my friend Noah Shachman as editor-in-chief, who's just starting up. I don't know if you've had any contact with them at all, but they're definitely worth a conversation no matter what, and the history that the film tells of the magazine is just going to be absolutely invaluable to its, you know, sort of rebirth and revitalization. So
do you hear the job offer, Ben? Do you hear the job offer?
He's sort of off mic.
Okay.
I'm
speaking right.
Is it a series, a podcast, a movie?
No. What he's saying is his buddy just bought Rolling Stone.
So the Jay Penske bought Rolling Stone a couple of years ago, and he's installing Noah Shachman as editor-in-chief. Both of whom are, Noah's a fantastic journalist, and Jay's been a great media operator for quite some time. I wanted to know if you've been in touch with them at all, and if not, can I put you in touch?
Oh, of course you can.
Yeah.
You want to go back to Rolling Stone? You want to go back to Rolling Stone and write a few articles?
You know, I still have dreams about being at Rolling Stone, and I think it goes back to the 80s, it seems like, from the architecture and the looks of the people. And I'm always there on the payroll, but having not done a story for years, I'm really guilt-ridden about it. So I just go to some desk and sit there and, you know, see people and with that weird feeling that I have been researching several stories now for years and haven't turned them in. It's kind of like several of the actual staff members of Rolling Stone. I've just taken their place in my dreams.
Nice.
All right. So listen, this is a podcast for a streaming site called Fandor. And one of the things I'd like to ask each of you is, tell us two or three movies that touched you, that you would consider films you love, that inspired you, that helped to, you know, bring out the best in you, movies you think about, movies that stay with you from the years. They don't have to be your favorite films, but movies that really meant a lot to you. Mm. Suzanne, you can start.
Well, it sounds crazy, but the one film that has inspired me is Almost Famous.
There we go.
Oh, geez.
Can you believe, I mean, honestly.
It's treated lovingly in the movie. It's treated very, very lovingly in the movie. So
I love
in your
that
movie.
Film.
Yep.
And if you actually look at the film, it's about telling the truth, telling the truth, telling the truth. And our film is about telling the truth, telling the truth, telling the truth. Of course, about Ben's life and all the things that, you know, the great things that he's done. But it's got that, you know, seeking truth kind of aspect, and also Age of Innocence, you know, Ben growing up and then seeing through his eyes as a child, you know, what was going on, and then becoming full-fledged who he is now. So
transferring his innocence to Cameron Crowe.
Any other films, Suzanne, besides Almost Famous? Anything else?
I have others, but I would say that's a key one.
The one. All right, Ben, how about you? Tell us two or three films that you love.
Almost Famous is my least favorite film of all. It was okay, but they had this weird jerk Asian character in it. That kind of threw me off. I think back to the classics like Star Wars. I was kind of, and Godfather. Yeah. For some reason, both of those iconic films had Bay Area roots. So I'm proud of it as well as entertained by it. Godfather seemingly still, you know, whenever it pops up on reruns or whatever. And I also have the box sets. I'm just glued to the screen. It's just majestic storytelling and acting and writing. And I have to put in a word for All the President's Men.
Oh, kind
of self-serving, huh?
Yeah.
I just saw Clickbait on Netflix, and it had a horrendous portrayal of media and one particular Asian American journalist named Ben, actually. anyway, horrible depiction. On the flip side, you have Woodward and Bernstein and All the President's Men. And so those are three of my favorites.
Ben, who is your favorite person to interview of all time?
Dead or alive?
Either.
Yeah,
either. Yeah.
Both.
Well, I'm going to say McCartney. It was going to be McCartney and Ronstadt. But I, now that you've allowed me to go to another platform, Marvin Gaye, because he was so at the peak of his success with What's Going On.
Mm-hmm.
And also at the peak of his insecurity. And so, and he was the kind of a guy like McCartney who bared his soul. He was not afraid to just say exactly the answer to what you were asking. It was, there was no hemming and hawing. It was, oh man, I'm depressed. You know, I'm just not sure. Do I deserve this? I know I made this, but what's next? I don't know. And Ronstadt just blatantly, brazenly self-revealing in her interviews, talking about going to the fat farm when she didn't really need to. Right. And McCartney, so media savvy, not to exploit it, but to work with it, knowing that somehow there would be a mutual benefit and he would come out just fine by being open. And that's been seen in his most recent interview with Rick Rubin.
Yep.
I'm not sure what network it's on.
I think it's on Netflix. It's on Hulu. I think it's on Hulu.
Yeah. Wonderful interview where he does a little bit of gossip, but mostly is the details of the music that we all grew to love.
And before that, when he did the carpool karaoke stuff with James Corden, like he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant to this day.
He loved to surprise people and just show up suddenly and play his music. And he's still at the top of his game in terms of vocals. Fantastic.
We opened Golden One Center in Sacramento with Paul McCartney concerts, and it was one of the proudest moments for all of us in the Kings group.
My dear friend Chris is part owner of the Sacramento Kings.
So when we built the new arena, McCartney was, we opened up with two nights of McCartney, and it was just fantastic.
The film is called Like a Rolling Stone, The Life and Times of Ben Fong Torres. It's at the Mill Valley Film Festival. It's going to be screening Sunday, October 10th and Monday, October 11th. But on October 10th is a top secret private music show at the Sweetwater.
That's right.
Okay. I can't wait to hear who's going to be playing.
Let's see now. McCartney.
Okay.
Elton John.
Nice.
Carlos Santana. Crosby. No, not Crosby. Stills, Nash, and Young.
Wow.
You know, they're still fighting.
Yeah.
And, what about Bruno Mars?
Bruno Mars will be there.
Okay.
Korean pop, boy pop band.
Oh, BTS.
BTS. Yes.
BLT will be there.
Oh, BLT too.
BLT.
They're serving, they're in the green room with sandwiches, and then they go on stage. It's
nice.
It's going to be an amazing show.
Before we end it, what's next for you guys? What's like? Has the movie already been sold? Is it going to be just like, what's next in terms of that? And what's next in terms of life for both of you?
Suzanne?
Oh, gosh. I'd like to take a vacation.
Get some sleep.
But also, I did more than 120 shoots. I stopped counting because I wanted to get it, you know, factually correct. So I was cross-checking everybody. Fortunately, it's come back as correct. But then having done that, I have maybe 15, 18 hours of already pre-edited footage. So what do we do with that? So we could I want to do an educational version for the schools and maybe a multi-part. So that's
awesome.
That's on my agenda, hopefully. And so if Mr. Penske is interested, you know, we can talk.
I think that's a chat we can set up fairly easily. So
I love that. That'd be great.
Yep.
Yeah, you're being interviewed by someone he's super connected. He's right there. This guy.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
All right, how about you, Ben? What's next?
Well, I continue to do, I'm in my sixth year now of programming and DJing on Moon Alice Radio, which is for, not Alice Radio, it's Moon,
it's Moon Alice
Radio.
with my good friend Roger McNamee.
For Roger the gang. And I recently edited helped to consult on a book for Q, who you know who that is now. I did narration. I read a couple of my books for Audible. So those are just out. They are my memoir, The Rice Room, and the book on Little Feet called Willin. And I am talking with a couple of writers helping out on a TV series, they hope, about San Francisco, New York, and L.A. freeform radio in the 70s. And there's also a major radio figure who just got in touch about my maybe helping out on a series on television about the San Francisco 60s Summer of Love scene. It doesn't seem to go away. You would think that they'd be aiming at millennials and younger, but the boomers are still considered a prized audience.
I want to say from the bottom of our hearts, thank you, Ben Fong Torres. Thank you, Suzanne Joe Kai. The film, once again, Like a Rolling Stone, The Life and Times of Ben Fong Torres, Mill Valley Film Festival, October 10th, October 11th. We wish you guys nothing but the best. It's
fantastic film and unbelievable story. Great things
to
come.
Chris.
Thanks.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by Fandor. Sign up online or in the app for a free 1-week trial. Playing now on Fandor is How to Start a Small Business. In this film, Skylar Ward, a small-time promoter, is searching for the next big thing. We end up following Skylar and his team of little people wrestlers as they attempt to take their act from the bars of Texas and fairgrounds of Oklahoma to the big time. That's Fandor, the home for cinephiles.